Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio. You got us right there. Good morning, gentlemen.
What up, baby? Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween. Whoa. Happy Halloween. I'll tell you what. You heard the sound coming in. Giants and Jets both lose yesterday, but not all losses are created equal. You know, heading in to these games, Key, Jay, I thought, look, I know Belichick, young quarterback, this and that, but the Jets are talented, man. I wonder what's going to happen. You lose Vera Tucker, but they're talented. The Patriots, not so much. They had a real chance to win that game. The Giants, I felt like, that's a schedule loss. Seattle does a lot of the same thing the Giants do, only maybe more high octane. Giants have won a lot of close games. That's not going to go on forever. They went to London and then came back and then went to the Ravens and they won those games. Then they went on the road again and they won a close one. Now they got to go all the way to Seattle, the way Geno Smith is playing and Metcalf was playing, Key. I remember it looked like he was. Metcalf was in and he caught a touchdown. Like, it just, I'm not, as a Giants fan, I'm cool. I figured they're going to lose that game. It's almost like a schedule loss. If I'm a Jets fan today, I'm like, damn. We could have turned the corner as a franchise and didn't do it. Where are you guys with what you saw yesterday?
I figured, much like you said, I didn't go into a whole travel schedule because they went to London a month ago. So that they still.
But it's three weeks out of four they're traveling.
But I think just going, it's tough to play in Seattle. One of the first things I said to you, Max, is in Jay, when we talked about this game, is you're going from New York to Seattle. The 12th man, it's going to be raining and misty and all. It's just it's a tough environment to play in. The Jets, on the other hand, it's a little more, probably a little more devastating in terms of the loss because you thought that they had turned the corner and they had a recipe for success. Even though Breece Hall wasn't playing in the game, you still have a recipe for success. And they went away from that. And they started to throw the ball a little bit too much for me up against a Bill Belichick, you know, led defense. And they got the quarterback in trouble. You know, he dropped him back 41 times. And I know people look at the yardage and go, wow, he threw for 355. Well, if you drop him back 41 times, you're going to throw for 355. The big number is the three interceptions. You can't afford to turn the football over that way. And he did.
You see, for me yesterday with the Giants, It exposed what the issue already was, frankly. Like, they contained Daniel Jones. They didn't allow him to create plays with his legs. They contained Saquon Barkley to a degree. And the lack of wide receiver options is something that just showed its ugly face. I mean, at the end of the day, like we've been openly stating, Max, multiple times as it relates to the G-men, is that it comes down to Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley carrying the load or the defense manufacturing some offense. And they weren't able to do that yesterday. I'm really not concerned with either teams, frankly. I mean, the Jets, you talked about losing Vera Tucker. We talked about the fact that Breece Hall has been out. James Robinson, we had Rex Ryan in here earlier. You know, a week to learn the playbook, to understand what it is. It's not a major indictment on Zach Wilson as, you know, James Robinson gets more comfortable with the playbook and getting acclimated to the offense. I want to see what happens next week if they trend in the right direction. But I think both teams is kind of what it is.
Two things. One, for the Giants, Richie James on special teams turns the ball over twice. If you just don't have that, the Giants have a chance to win the game. And that's without Bellinger, who's a promising young tight end who was hurt last week, right? And Daniel Jones, one of his favorite targets. So that's number one for the Giants. Key, I want you to look at a graphic. Can we put that graphic back on the screen? For the Jets, it just feels different. Look at this. These are quarterbacks pressured since 09, what their completion percentage is. So the worst completion percentage until now was Sam Bradford in 2011, 19% when pressured. Since 09, we're talking about 13 seasons almost. Ryan Mallett, 24%. Remember Mallett backed up Tom Brady? He was like the third stringer, and then they gave him the deal in Texas. Chad Henne, 24%. The worst out of all those guys in 13 years when pressured is Zach Wilson, Key, 15%.
Well, when you look at it, they're not protecting him, and everybody knows that, and Bill Belichick knew that, and you're going up against Bill Belichick too. And this is just the season, right? This is not one game. But there's a book out, and they're studying that book, and these defensive coordinators are paid a lot of money to understand what could create a problem for a quarterback. And right now, it's the pressure. And he's turning the ball over at an alarming rate. And this is why I wouldn't drop my quarterback back 41 times.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense at all. I mean,
so, Keith, what would you have done?
Well, you stick to the same game plan. You try to run the football. And then every now and then, if you need to take a shot, you take a shot. You don't give the game to the New England Patriots. You basically gift-wrapped it and handed them the football game by dropping him back 41 times. But that's their philosophy, and I'm sure if the coaches were questioned about those sort of things, they would have answers as to why they did what they did.
Yeah, it's a tale of two quarterbacks to me right now with New York football, right? Who has the best quarterback in New York? Who has the most upside? Which team is better? They both seem a little bit ahead of schedule. Certainly the Giants seem ahead of schedule first year under Daboll. Listen to Daniel Jones after the game on how much focus he put on yesterday's game versus the big picture.
A lot of focus to this game. There's a lot of things we need to correct, a lot of things we didn't do well enough today. So we'll look to shore those up. We'll look to make corrections. And, you know, we'll look back at the first half to some extent and see where we can continue to improve. But I imagine a lot of our focus will be on this game.
Now, Daniel Jones, a much more experienced quarterback, Key, but he talks and acts and plays the way you script it from what you want to see from a guy really in like year two or three, but you got to write off a lot of those years before
now. And he did a good job. Look, he did okay yesterday. Okay, they were tied in the fourth quarter 13-13. It took Geno Smith five straight completions and a 75-yard capped off by a Lockett touchdown for them to go ahead. I mean, it's 75 yards, okay? It wasn't like that they just all of a sudden started to just run away with the game on the opening kickoff. The Giants were in it to the end. If I'm a Giant fan, if I'm Giant coaching staff this morning, I'm walking away still positive about the outcome of the game. I know you don't look at it that way typically, but because the circumstances, they ran up against a red-hot quarterback in Geno Smith on the road, and if they would have got out of there with a W, that would be great, but they didn't. The Jets, on the other hand, they didn't do the young man any good by dropping him back 41 times.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't.
Speaking of that, Jay, I want you to listen to this, because Daniel Jones has been taking better care of the football, et cetera, et cetera. And even with all that, again, if Richie James doesn't fumble it twice and Bellinger's in the game, I think the Giants, not much margin for error on that team. They're not as talented as the Jets. The Jets are a talented team, but Zach Wilson's a much younger quarterback. Listen to Zach Wilson, who's very erratic, that's putting it nicely, in the loss to the Patriots on his interceptions.
I had some boneheaded plays. First, second interception, I really meant to throw that ball away. Dude closed on me faster, kind of had me leave the ball inside. Can't mess with that, got to sail it. And then the last one is just really, I really just wanted to make a play. I'm sick of coming off the field, and I can't do that, you know, put my defense in a bad situation there. But no, all day I didn't feel like I let that stuff bother me.
Yeah, man, look, that second turnover was really bad. It was obviously backpedaling, just lofted the ball up there. I mean, I appreciate he's trying to give you a real account, you know, about, you know, his decision-making process and why it turned out to be bad. I put a lot of that on Bill Belichick in the scheme, obviously. But you have to deliver, man. And here's going to be, you know, the patience level that I wonder what Jet fans have, considering Breece Hall is out. Even if the scheme was to stay the same, I mean, they rushed the ball for only 51 yards yesterday on the ground. They couldn't get anything going on the ground. If you can't get anything going on the ground, you're going to naturally look to your quarterback to make plays happen, which puts him in a precarious situation.
A little earlier this morning, Rex Ryan, ESPN NFL analyst, and of course, head coach once upon a time of the New York football Jets, when they did quite well, especially by their standards, listen to what he said on this program about Zach Wilson.
I look at a guy that certainly has the ability, and part of that is that escapability he has. Look, that dude was pressured like crazy. Look, we saw a guy like Sam Darnold absolutely wilt under pressure before. This kid doesn't wilt under pressure. I think he's got some of that stuff that I believe in, and one of it is that arm talent. So I think he's got a chance. I really do, and I think you got to be a little patient with the guy. We knew there was going to be growing pains, you know. So to me, I just think, you know, you stay with this guy. Let's not give up on him just because he lost the game to Bill Belichick coach defense. I mean, he did throw for 350 yards. Now, you're right. They don't need – that's not the blueprint going forward. They need to be more balanced. And I think when James Robinson gets caught up to speed, I think they will be more balanced as a football team.
Yeah, look, you don't give up on the kid. There's no giving up on him. But at the same time, you have to help him. You cannot drop back 41 times. You have to be more balanced. And I understand James Robinson needs to get up to speed, but James Robinson is not the only back that you have. There's other backs that are in there. And even if you are not getting the necessary yardage by rushing the football, the attempts is what matter. When you attempt to run the football, it makes everything easier for the quarterback position. In terms of him being young, okay, he's young. All right, turn around and throw the ball in the third row. All you got to do is turn around and throw it in the third row. Or just turn your body, throw it in the third row, make sure it gets up past the line of scrimmage, and live to see another day. That's the best play possible. Don't try to be a hero. Don't try to show your arm talent by throwing the ball, flipping it, and hopefully it's a completion. Don't do that, because that's what causes those three interceptions.
Yeah, I'm just not going to double down, Key. I mean,
What do you mean, double down?
Well, no, I'm talking about the fact, like, I hear a lot of people doubling down on Zach Wilson, saying, you know, he's been put in that situation. Look, you have to react, man. This is what the game presents. And, I mean, how many young quarterbacks are actually beating Bill Belichick anyway at that stage of their career?
Key, you talk about this all day. The young quarterback ain't beating Bill Belichick, right? Like, but, he's going to confuse him.
But I'm going to give him the best opportunity to by not dropping him back 41 times. Okay, I can beat Bill Belichick. Because guess how? I'm going to run the football. I'm going to keep my defense to play.
No Vera Tucker and no Brees Hall. You know what
so
I'm saying?
So why am I dropping back to get him knocked out?
Yeah, well, that's true. What do you think, Jay? Does he convince you?
I'm just watching a game yesterday, man. They couldn't get anything growing on the ground.
That's okay, though. It's the attempts. Remember, it's not the yardage. It's the attempts.
I just feel like it's turning into a way bigger thing. Like all of a sudden it's an indictment now on Zach Wilson and the coaching staff, where this team had a legit chance to still win the game.
Here's the question about Zach Wilson now. You know, back in my day, if it's a second-year quarterback, what does Key say? Just drive to the stadium, get there year one. Year two, what do you want to see, Key? What is it you're looking for year two?
I don't need you doing that. I don't need you throwing the ball 41
right.
times.
Just don't make a lot. Try to make
that.
Mistakes and stuff.
You're not going
to
win that way.
Here's the question. Because nowadays, you got to win in your rookie contract window. That's not true. Very few actually do that, right? Who wins the Super Bowl? Tom Brady's not in his rookie window. You know, Patrick Mahomes just got paid. They're just fine, right? Josh Allen, these guys. Here's the question. From what we've seen from Zach Wilson so far, what do we think the upside is? Like, I thought you could already write Daniel Jones off as he's never going to be a great quarterback. He might be a good one. But now I'm there thinking, wait a minute, he's in year four. But really, as Key would say, almost like in year two because of how messed up things have been with the Giants so far. Yeah. Now we can start to see. Now I'm starting to think about Daniel Jones. Let me see him with a top receiver, an alpha dog receiver, to see what I really think of him. Where are we with Zach Wilson right now in our evaluation? Jay, you say you can't double down on him. What do you mean? Like that you really think he might be something?
I think he has potential to be something. But, I mean, it's a matter of how patient will the franchise be in this market where each and every day, every time they lose, people are up and screaming and yelling. Like, that's what happens, right? It's like, oh, he threw the ball 41 times, and I don't want to see that. But, all right, like, you can't have any room for growth anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, it can't take a couple of years.
That's on the coach, though, not on Zach Wilson if he drops back 41 times. One with the Key, where are you on Zach Wilson's upside?
I don't really know. To be honest with you, Max, because I haven't seen enough of him. The little bit that I've seen, I haven't liked. There's nothing – just because a guy has – Jeff George had a laser arm. What is that – like, come on. Just because a guy makes a throw –
still waiting for Jeff George.
That's the am I lying though, Max?
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff George could throw with the best of them.
It's only one part of it. It's almost like that's a prerequisite. You got to be able to make all the throws. If you got extra, that's good, but that's just one part.
But I haven't seen anything to me in a short period of time that made me go, oh, I think he got some. But I could tell you many quarterbacks that I've seen that says, yeah, he's going to be all right.
Justin Herbert, for example.
Well, Herbert, Hurts, even to the point now looking at Tua, I'm like, oh, he's going to be all right. And the reason he's going to be all right is because he's very accurate. And that's what they want him to do. They want him to be very accurate at throwing the football. So when you're looking at it, you're going, okay.
Maybe he can be a left-handed Drew Brees, right?
I think he can be okay.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean that he's going to be Justin Herbert. It just means that he's going to be okay. So when I look at Zach Wilson, I haven't seen anything that makes me go, all right, dude, going to be good.
Zach Wilson, like, hey, can Tua be a left-handed Drew Brees? Now you start to look and you go, oh, wait a minute. Zach Wilson never going to be Aaron Rodgers, right? That's what it looks like for now. Elijah Moore was asked about his chemistry with quarterback Zach Wilson. Listen to the Jets wideout after yesterday's loss.
How would you describe your chemistry with Zach on the field?
I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. I don't get the ball. I don't know.
Go get him, Aaron Rodgers. Go get him, Aaron Rodgers. Go get him, Packers.
It's true, though. What's the chemistry? I don't know. I don't get the ball. How would I know?
How would I know? I don't even get the rock.
Oof.
Yeah, why would they ask him that, though, I wonder?
Feels like one of those setup questions.
Well, let's put it this way.
He's not worried about being set up because he answered it.
No, but I'm saying that's a typical, let me ask this guy who hasn't received the ball, you know, how he feels about their chemistry, get him to say something.
You know where my mind goes, Key and Jay? When Odell went to the Browns, they weren't throwing him the ball. And they weren't throwing the ball, but they were also losing. They weren't getting the ball to other guys who were tearing it up, right? And so Odell's sitting there going, timeout. If you ain't getting the ball to me, someone should be open, right? But you're not doing that either. But that was a chemistry thing. There was no chemistry between Baker and Odell. Is it a chemistry issue with the fact that he's not getting the ball, Key, with Zach Wilson? Is it a coaching issue?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's a chemistry or if they're calling the plays or they're putting it. Whenever I see a talented player not being able to show his talents, I always go back to the coaches. Because the coaches could dictate what you're going to be. They put you in the right positions to succeed, in the wrong positions to fail. That's just the reality of it. They wanted Elijah Moore to be the guy, then they could certainly put him in positions to be the guy. They obviously feel like Garrett Wilson is a much better receiver for them, and they haven't figured out what to do with Elijah Moore in terms of his style. Like, what do we do with him? We got him. Is he a jack of all trades and a master of none? Is he a guy that we can use on fly sweeps? Can we do some of the Deebo Samuel stuff with him? They just haven't figured that out. And I don't think he wants to mess around with them any longer.
I mean, yeah, he's made that clear for a minute now. I mean, when you drop back and you throw the ball 41 times and you throw the ball for 355 yards and Elijah Moore has no catches, he has one target, you tell me where that fits into the offense.
So who had the more disappointing loss between the Jets and the Giants? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. And should the Giants trade for a wideout, trade deadline coming right up, clearly, if you just want to stop Saquon Barkley, because you're not afraid, without Bellinger in the game even, you're not afraid of the Giants passing game at all. Slayton was pretty good, and he's kind of like a normal NFL wideout. But on the Giants, that's the number one.
What receiver got traded so far? Anybody?
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney.
Kadarius
from the Giants.
He got traded. But anybody else that mattered? Robbie Anderson
got traded.
So what's like? Who's out there? What's left? DJ Moore's left.
It's not going to be DeAndre Hopkins because. Yeah, it doesn't look like we're going to. Judy is the name that comes up a lot.
Jared Judy potentially could help. Yeah, but, I mean, there's just not a lot out there.
Even if you get the Giants a receiver.
And the Giants are not the only team looking for receivers.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But the point is not just to get him a receiver. The point is, Key, as you would say, an alpha receiver to find out about Daniel Jones. If the Giants make the playoffs this year, great. But they're so far ahead of schedule with Daboll year one. That's not my actual main concern. To me, this year, If you make the playoffs, it's amazing. I want to find out about Daniel Jones. I don't think you can do that just by bringing in a nice little receiver. You need to see what he could do with a number one guy.
Jerry Jeudy has some flashes here and there. I mean, he may be a guy that if they really want to move on from him, that you probably could go get. He's still on his rookie contract.
So the money, yeah.
I mean, that may be a guy that you go get.
Daniel in West Virginia has an idea. What you got, Daniel?
I think the Giants could target somebody like Brandon Cooks from the Texans. They're not going to win now, and he's been pretty reliable throughout his career as a deep threat.
What do you think, Key, about Cooks? Is he a take-the-lid-off guy or a real number one?
He's going to be running out of teams in a minute. it would help a little because Daniel Jones would be able to chunk it because he can still run. He's still a good, like you said, a liable receiver. I mean, he's been on – how many teams he's been on? He's been on like six teams, it feels like.
Is that partly
because he has
people are hoping he'll be a number one, but he's a valuable guy, but not really an alpha receiver? Is that why?
To be honest with you, I don't know why he keeps getting traded. I have no idea. None. I mean, he's always been good to me, like a good number two guy. Mm-hmm. That if you had a number one guy opposite of him, they both can do some dirt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why he's been on the move so much. I have no idea.
Keyshawn J. Willimax.
I mean, he's a home run hitter, though, right?
Yeah, he is a home run hitter for sure.
He can go get it.
Keyshawn J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Progressive's 10th Keys to Progress giveaway for veterans this year. Their goal is to gift a vehicle to a recipient, small business, or nonprofit in every state. See more about their annual giveaway at keystoprogress.com. So Kyrie Irving defended his post about an anti-Semitic movie or anti-Jewish movie. How should the Nets handle this situation moving forward?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to Live Radio. You can find us right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can join the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Question we're asking is, we asked a couple questions. One, the most overrated Halloween candy. And two, Jets or Giants? Which team had the more disappointing loss yesterday? Meantime, speaking of disappointing, Kyrie Irving defends his post about, now I'm going to be careful with my language here, because if I say anti-Semitic, people talk about Semites, people from a certain region of the world, and Ashkenazi Jews, meaning like, although I have a little Sephardic in me, but Ashkenazi meaning, well Turks, yes, from Turkey and the Mediterranean, but Ashkenazi meaning white Jews, are not, you know, genetically linked to that area that you read about in the Bible, like Sephardic Jews are. A lot of that was mass converts from about 1,000 to 1,200 years ago in Europe, et cetera, et cetera. But anti-Jewish, as we understand it in America, movie that Kyrie Irving had a post on social media about. The movie is called Hebrews to Negroes, wake up, Black America. And Kyrie said he's not going to, quote, stand down on what he believed in, despite the fact that Nets owner Joe Tsai and the NBA both released statements condemning Kyrie's decision to, you know, look, Nick Friedel asked him about promoting it, and Kyrie got bogged down in the word promoting rather than discuss the content of what Nick was asking. So instead of saying promoting, let's say amplifying, because clearly if a guy with millions of followers retweets something, they are certainly amplifying, right? So I'll say amplifying the movie and its message. So here's Kyrie at the Nets postgame presser.
I'm not here to be divisive on what's going on this or that. I'm not comparing Jews to blacks. I'm not comparing white to black. I'm not doing that. That conversation is dismissive, and it constantly revolves around the rhetoric of who are the chosen people of God. And I'm not here to argue over a person or a culture or religion or what they believe. No, this is what is here. It's on a public platform. Did I do anything illegal? Did I hurt anybody? Did I harm anybody? Am I going out and saying that I hate one specific group of people? So out of all the judgment that people got from me posting, I just, without talking to me, and then I respect what Joe said, but there has a lot to do with the not ego or pride of how proud I am to be an African heritage, but also to be living as a free black man here in America, knowing the historical complexities for me to get here. So I'm not going to stand down on anything that I believe in. I'm only going to get stronger because I'm not alone. I have a whole army around me.
Jay, what do you think?
So there was also the sound of Nick Friedel. There is a lot to break down here, frankly. Kyrie's point about promoting something, there's a bigger point to that because that's what him and Nick Friedel got into. So I want to address that first. So number one, it's on Amazon. It's on Amazon. So what did I do yesterday at 4 o'clock in the morning before jumping to social media, reacting to Joe Tsai and being anti-Jewish? Like, I wanted to actually watch it. I watched it. So to deconstruct it, there were parts of it I really questioned that I can see can be claimed as anti-Jewish. And I'm not Jewish, Max. You would be. Like, so I would like to hear other Jewish people tell me, you know, and depict that even more for me. Understood. I think the point, so that's interesting about promoting it because it's on a public platform that is promoting it. So if you have any anger towards promoting something that's anti-Jewish, let's take that up with Amazon and Jeff Bezos first and foremost overall. That's a bigger platform conversation. Mm-hmm. As it relates to Kyrie, I hearing his depiction or his articulation of his point, it was more so trying to understand about the black Jewish community and where that's coming from, right? Black Israelites. I know that opens up another Pandora's box. It's very deep here, but I called some of my friends who are black Jews yesterday to talk to them about this. And a lot of them feel certain ways about how they've been treated within the Jewish community.
And there's
the
no,
positives
by the way,
and the negatives,
by the way,
right?
In no community is racism acceptable, including
Understood.
In the Jewish community. And I have a lot of problems with, you know, but with any community, including the Jewish one, although as a community, it's a loose community, that where people are excluded based on race or made to feel or looked down upon based on race, I condemn it 100% as any righteous person should.
So I don't see Kyrie coming from a place of negativity or hate, and he properly articulates that. The problem is that this then gets hijacked by somebody like Kanye, who then posts pictures of Kyrie or Stephen A. Smith and saying he's a real one, he's with us, and it gets put into that filter and it becomes polarizing. And it's one. Now look, the timing of Kyrie's post, I can't condone that, right? Like, you should be aware enough to recognize that the timing of a post like this is going to lead to a conversation of the tale of Kanye West. But I understand to a degree the acknowledging of him trying to understand the history of the black Jewish community and understanding, like, I mean, people have written songs about it. I mean, Kendrick Lamar has written a song about this, right? Like, people have acknowledged this for a while. So it's deep, and I just don't want the conversation to be hijacked.
Well, here's the thing, Jay. And I have not seen the movie. It's 3.5 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, that the book that it was taken from, right, Hebrews to Negroes, I can tell you that there are certain things where if something is quoted as a credible source, I can tell you the book is garbage. I could throw it away. Even if there are good points made within it or important historical messages to send, this happened, these people were involved in the exploitation, whether in a centrally organized way, as people mm-hmm. might accuse the Catholic Church at times, or in a looser way, as it may have been with Jewish merchants, right? We're talking about the slave trade now. that those are all valid points. But once I see a certain shoddy level of scholarship, I know what I'm dealing. I know what I'm dealing with.
That's why I go back and to Max. Why is it on Amazon's platform to begin with?
Okay, that's fair. Apparently, the book also quotes from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is just propaganda, disinformation, lies about Jewish people. Like, you know, I will tell you, well, were Jewish merchants involved in this? Yes, they were, because they were merchants at the time, et cetera, et cetera. In the transatlantic slave trade, many people were, including some people who were Jewish, although not in some centrally organized, twirling the mustaches, ha-ha, now the Jews are going to get one over way. But that's a fair thing to bring up. But once you quote from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, that would be like someone taking something that was written by some slave owner in the South about white supremacy or about how black people are bad and putting that in some book or documentary as though it was a credible source. As soon as I saw that in there, I'd be like, whatever other points this author is making, I'm throwing it out because I see where you're coming from.
Okay.
I see where you're at. Mm-hmm. And I see the level of vigor and that you put into the scholarship. Zero, basically. It's just propaganda. That's where I'm like, hold up, time out. You're amplifying something that quotes from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Well, that's why I go back to the point. It's already being amplified. It's on Amazon. It goes to billions of people.
So,
like, both points are correct, right? So, like, I'm just saying, if somebody's going to challenge about amplification and promotion of something when it's on a platform that promotes and amplifies to billions of people, like, that's a bigger problem.
The difference is one is making it available, and that's a separate conversation. But my issue with Kyrie now is, if you do something like this, and then people ask you about it, as Nick Friedell did.
Oh, I agree with you.
Then he wants to get bogged down. Then when I hear, like, well, what about what Amazon's doing? Okay, that's another conversation. We're not talking about that right now. Like, mm-hmm. We're in the sports business. So when a sports figure brings it up, then we're going to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about what Kyrie did. And when I hear, what is Amazon? That's you're trying to distract.
No, I'm not distracting. I'm asking another question, but
okay,
I get your
point. That's the strategy. Or when Kyrie sits there going,
it's not a strategy,
I'm not promoting.
I'm not
backing
anybody.
I'm not saying that you're strategizing. I'm saying you may be falling prey to those who are strategizing, because now you are giving that amplification on this show. Like, what about what they're doing? But we're talking about Kyrie. It's all a way not to talk about Kyrie. And when Kyrie gets bogged down, as he did with Nick Friedell, I'm not promoting. In the word promoting, he may have some point to make about the word promoting. But Kyrie, you're clearly amplifying, and you're skirting the point, which is you got to take responsibility for what you did.
I 1,000% agree with you. I'm not skirting. I'm not strategizing. I'm not falling prey to anything. I'm just acknowledging that there are other questions that need to be asked. That doesn't excuse Kyrie Irving at all. But I understand. Would you think that Kyrie Irving comes from a place of anti-Semitic kind of speech or hate talk?
I think Kyrie Irving is susceptible to low quality information.
That could be fair.
And wants you to think he's smart, and that's a bad combination.
Okay, I mean, we should talk about it more.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, what do the Phillies need to do? Apropos of this conversation, Key, you know, this really leads me to this thought. What do the Phillies need to do to get back on track at home? There's no good way to make these hard left turns, right turns.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So the Lakers got their first win last night. Yay, Key, you guys got a win. Congrats. No? Okay, great. Great passion for your squad. I guess it just led to the question that I saw them literally splash Darvin Ham with water, Gatorade, whatever it might be. And the reaction, Rachel Nichols put this out on Twitter.
Who?
And yeah, Rachel Nichols. And the reaction from people on her timeline were like, yeah, Kobe would be excited about celebrating 1-5. I get that it's a tradition probably that you want to welcome Darvin Ham and you're playing for somebody. It just, and you should celebrate all wins. It's just, you know, it's like the Yankees. If the Yankees were to celebrate a win, you're like, oh, you won more World Series than anybody else in the history of the sport.
I'm sure Aaron Boone's first victory was celebrated. I'm sure. That's what people do with their coaches for the first time, the head coach and his first victory. This is not a second, third time head coach getting a win. This is a young head coach that has his first opportunity to break into the NBA as a head coach, and he wins a game. They just happen to be 1-5 at the time. There's nothing wrong with that. I think you have a
personal
agenda.
Wow. Well, first off, I never said there was anything wrong with it. I said that people's
Lakers.
I said people's responses on Twitter stated that what Kobe do something like that. I was asking
that's a good question. Key.
I'm
like,
sure.
What, how do you
I'm
think?
Sure. Let me think. So Kobe, but none of Kobe had. Kobe hadn't have any first time head coaches, right? I mean, because he didn't play for. Everybody he played for either won a championship, been involved in a championship, or coached for a very long time. He never had a first time head coach, whether it was Dale Harris all the way through Phil Jackson.
But the bigger point is
Luke
like
Walton.
He look
short,
short like stint. The Lakers
now,
are the
Luke,
the Lakers.
Luke had coached in Golden State before.
But the Lakers are the Yankees of the NBA, meaning you have to act like you've been there before. You can't celebrate one win. On the other hand, and also Kobe would not be into that. Come on, man. If you're 0-5, 0-6,
you
he wouldn't
win
be into that.
And you win the first victory, they do it for the coach, man. You guys are
No, that's legit. I'm not saying that's not legit, Key. That's a way to look at it. I'm just saying it is interesting. You can't deny Kobe would not be with it. Kobe would not be with celebrating one win in 6-7 games.
Oh,
come on,
God,
man.
Stop.
Would he or not?
You guys are – Kobe would have celebrated right with LeBron. Stop it.
I don't think so.
Kobe would have celebrated.
That one, man.
He celebrated because it's the coach he's celebrating. It's not the victory.
The celebration goes more viral than actual victory does.
You know what I'll say about it, though? I'll say this. I disagree with you about Kobe, Key, but it does show you that they like coach, and if the team feels that way about their coach, they can maybe turn it around because they obviously like that guy.
Jay hates the Lakers.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
From the first pitch of the wild card.
The pitch.
To the final out of the World Series.
The 0-2. Swing and a miss. And it is over.
Hear every pitch of Major League Baseball's postseason on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to Live Radio. You can find us right there. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Who had the more disappointing loss, Giants or Jets? 888-SAY-ESPN. What's the most overrated Halloween candy? 888-729-3776. Who's in the starting five of Halloween candy? he got your $100,000 bar in there. I think that's controversial. I think it might be the sixth man. I got M&Ms in there. He says only with peanuts, and maybe not even then. Jay doesn't like candy.
Nope.
The World Series is on ESPN Radio, presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Game 3, it's knotted at 1-1. Astros just tied it up. Game 3 starts tonight, 7 p.m. Jessica Mendoza, ESPN baseball analyst with us now. Jessica, tell me about your thoughts on Halloween candy first. I need them.
Wait, hold. I just need to go back. Jay Will doesn't like candy. Like, I just need to get, like, I'm sure you guys already broke this down, but, like, you don't like candy? Like, any, like, across the board there isn't a piece of candy you don't like?
I mean, Jess, I like Starburst every once in a while. Like, I'm just not a big candy. I've never been a big candy person, though. You know what I mean? It's just since I've been a little kid. Caught a cavity one time, and just I was
oh,
off.
Oh, no. Don't tell me, like, yellow or green or, like, the off colors.
No, I'm a red. I'm red all
the
day.
The nasty
okay.
type.
All right.
Red is not nasty. What? See, Jessica, this is what I do. Is the red Starburst nasty to you?
No, it's
Thank
delicious.
You. See?
Jessica, do you give away the pink Starburst? Or
yes,
do you keep
I always
them with
do.
You?
Hate the pinks.
I give away the yellow.
I'm the one who likes the yellow. Yeah. I like all citrus.
Yeah.
When it comes to like non-chocolate type candy, I want citrus. I don't want the berry stuff. I want citrus. That's right.
Where is this conversation?
Give me orange, green, yellow.
I actually thought he asked Jessica.
I did ask Jessica.
She answered.
Max is so funny. I'm like, Max, let her answer if she what candy she like.
I thought she answered.
I'm all about peanut butter and chocolate. Like, the mixture of that is, like, my favorite thing in the whole world. And that can be even, like, down to, like, a peanut M&M. Like, that just, like, peanut, chocolate, that's, like, put any, and there's, like, a million categories that go with that. But, like, and I'm also obsessed with chocolate, too, but.
Right, let's get into the peanut chocolate thing for a second. So does that mean that something like a Reese's peanut butter cup is ahead of, let's say, a Snickers, which has the peanut and chocolate, but also nougat or whatever you call it, right? Like all caramel, whatever. Caramel, I guess. In other words, if anything dilutes the peanut and chocolate, does that make it worse?
No. Bring it all on. Like, I love like all the things, especially with peanut butter and chocolate. And then if you want to add in anything except for your citrus, like, I'm good.
Jessica, what's the peanut butter and chocolate recipe to the Phillies getting back on track? How do the Phillies get back on track at home now, Jess?
That's exactly it, being at home. I mean, this is a place, from what I understand, by the way, even getting here last night, you know, with the Eagles winning, going 7-0, I mean, this place is nuts. Like, and, you know, I've been in a ton of World Series spots and walking around downtown, and, I mean, it's going off right now. From what I understand, I was with you guys, as you know, in New York for the CS, I wasn't here, and everyone has said, Boog Shambi, who works for us and has done 20-plus years, he said he has never heard a louder, crazier crowd than here in Philadelphia for a World Series game or for a postseason game. And I do think that's a huge advantage for them. And I know, like, you know, crowd, how much does that play into it? But, I mean, you guys know, like, I mean, Keyshawn, Jay, like, you understand how much a team feeds out. And we saw it in the CS with Philadelphia. I mean, they went ahead and swept San Diego once they got back here to Philly.
What's the biggest key, though, for the Astros to not allow this to take place in Game 3?
You just can't give them anything down the middle of the plate. I mean, these hitters, as you've seen, I mean, there's a lot of swing and miss, right? And the best thing the Astros do, as we know, is they put the ball in play. So even, I mean, shoot, Jose Altuve is over his head, a foot off the plate in the last game. They have so many bat-to-ball guys in the Astros lineup. The Phillies are just big dudes that can crush you in any given movement. And it's like boom, boom, boom before you blink. I mean, ask Justin Verlander. Like, it can happen so quickly as soon as you start to make mistakes. And I get it. Like, you know, that's the case for a lot of hitters, but it's different for the Phillies. You start to give them even just a little bit of plate, and they will find way over the wall. And that's something that, like, I've noticed, especially with the top of their lineup, is they're just waiting. They're literally just waiting for that one pitch, and it makes pitchers really nervous that they've got to be that perfect.
Jessica, first off, who do you think is going to win the World Series and why?
I mean, I've still got the Astros, and I know that that's, like, it's that I hate being the front runner. Like, I always like to kind of have, like, the underdog mentality. They can come back at any point. But I do think, to me, Astros in six. And watching the Phillies and the way that they win games, it's magical because they have so much mistake. Like, you know, I talk about the swing and miss on their offense. Their defense has so many holes in it. You know, their bullpen has guys that will throw it over the middle of the plate that don't always have command, and yet there's something magical about the way that they have played in the postseason. I get it. But the Astros, to me, just have that, like, I mean, and I love, I'm old school, like big time old school. I love the contact. I love the fact that you can see in October, a team in October know how to freaking put the ball in play. Like, just literally when you get dudes that can, and that's every pitcher right now, that throw 100 miles an hour and nasty sliders and all the things. You have guys in your lineup and your big guys that just know how to make contact. To me, that will always be my number one, and I will always pick the team that can do that and obviously do the other things too. And that's why the Astros, to me, are going to win it all.
Jessica, Dusty Baker came off the couch to manage this ball club, I think it was 2018. He was just supposed to just be, you know, calm in the waters and nothing long term. But now he finds himself still managing the Astros. What would this championship, if he was to get it, what would it mean for him?
Oh, man. I mean, Keyshawn, there's, like, nothing better than sitting down at, you know, manager's office. And this has been the best thing about doing the games for radio is you get to be able to sit down with the managers. And sitting down with Dusty Baker, and he's so real about that. Like, how, you know, like, it's about team and all the things that he's ever done. And you know, Keyshawn, like, he won in 81 with the Dodgers. Like, he has a World Series ring. But as a manager, like, this role that he has, and you'll see it, too, the shots of him in the dugout. Like, just, I mean, he is so cool and, like, chill. But as you get about the sixth inning on, there is a level of superstition, nervousness. I mean, you'll see him, like, all of a sudden.
Jess,
he's on the
other
end of the dugout.
5 seconds. That is awesome stuff, but we're up against it. Thank you, Jessica Mendoza. NFL trade deadline tomorrow. We're about to get into it. Thanks, Jess.
Dang it.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.